Once again, it's great to see everyone who was willing and able to make it out this Lord's evening to our evening worship service. As Brother Nate mentioned, I'll be continuing on and I believe wrapping up our study through the Psalms. I will be speaking on Psalm 23 this evening. If you'd like to turn there, we will read briefly through it as an introduction this afternoon. Psalm 23, beginning with verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This passage is probably one of the passages that is most recognizable throughout the entire Bible and probably most memorized by young children. I imagine most of us at a young age had learned this, memorized this passage. So I'm sure we're all very familiar with it. But I'd like to, for a short time this afternoon, to look at it and perhaps help us understand it a little bit better, and at least to help us to give us a time to appreciate this passage that most of us, I'm sure, love so much. Firstly, this psalm is a psalm of David. I know in our introduction to the study on Psalms, Nate taught on how there are psalms written by several different people, but this is a psalm of David. So in David's first verse is to state that the Lord is his shepherd, and he shall not want. It's very fitting that it's David who is writing this because he really has firsthand knowledge of what exactly that means to be a shepherd. David's not the only person to refer to Christ as a shepherd. In John chapter 10, verse 11, we see Jesus referring to himself as the good shepherd. And as a shepherd of sheep, as David was over his flock, David knew just how big that responsibility was, what it was to take that on, how crucial the role of the shepherd was to the sheep and their well-being and their survival. So David draws some very fitting comparisons between the shepherd of sheep and the shepherd of men, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. So very briefly this evening, we'll be looking at some of those. Verses 1 through 3, I read again, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." First we see the Lord is not potentially your shepherd or my shepherd. He is not our shepherd when we choose for him to be or when he may see that he is perhaps needed more. He is our shepherd. The way we may choose to stray from him at times when we think that we may see better pasture further away or a path we think may look a little bit nicer, when we think that we may be able to find our own way and not need his guidance. But the Lord is now, has always been, and forever will be our shepherd, the shepherd of mankind. And as the shepherd, we are told here that we shall not want. And we read in other passages as well that if we follow him as our shepherd, we shall be lacking for nothing. As a shepherd of sheep, David would have made sure to provide all the necessary needs, all the needs that were required for life and to sustain the flock. And so we too will lack for nothing. We may wish at times that we had more than we had, but we will never be truly in want. If we ever find ourselves in a place or a time when we are in want, then we should look at how we got there. I'm sure we will have strayed from that straight and narrow path of the shepherd. Matthew 6 and 33 tells us that all the necessities that we will need will be given us if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we follow the shepherd, then we will not be in want for anything. Others may have more money than we have or a social status that we may would desire, or have something that we would like to possess, but it's not truly a want. It's more of something that we may envy or covet of someone else's. But we follow the shepherd, that we will not be in want. We will be made to lie down in green pastures, just as sheep will be given that green pasture so they may sustain themselves. So we, who follow the Lord, will be given the necessary things to sustain our life. And these pastures we read of are not dry and barren, filled with briars, who may or may not be able to sustain life, but would cause other problems and things to arise from trying to live on them. But these pastures we read are described as green. It brings to us imagery of great lush fields and pastures that they would roam through and have all they would desire, what would be best for the sheep. Those who choose not to follow the shepherd often do so because they think that there is more that they need. There is better grass or pastures, as it were, somewhere else. And they do not understand that not only is what is provided by the Lord what is needed, but when we fully realize it is more than we could ever need. When we are thirsty and parched, and we may be, as it were, dehydrated from the strain of this life, we are led by the still, calm waters. We aren't led to a raging river or a sea that is under the torrent of a gale coming across it. We're led to this, and these aren't calm waters. They're stagnant and have all manner of algae and things growing in. These are the still, calm, cool waters, the living water that comes from our Lord and Savior, from the shepherd, the waters that help to rejuvenate our spirit and to restore our soul when we go astray, to give us strength and the courage to press on whenever life gets hard. We're all aware of our human nature, it seems, to stray, to think that we know how to do things better, to be selfish in the way that we behave. But our souls are restored by the Good Shepherd. We, for his own sake, are led to these places by the paths of righteousness, the paths of duty and obedience to the law of God. This path will lead us by the paths that he leads us in, will lead us by these green pastures and the cool waters. This way is the truly pleasant way, and it and the gifts given thereof are only found through the following of the Good Shepherd and of his word. And all of this is done not for self-promotion or to show off for ourselves, but for the sake of God, for his righteousness' sake. It is to his honor that we should be a holy people, to his honor that we should adore and acknowledge the care the Heavenly Father gives us in guiding us as our shepherd on this path. David says that the one who follows the Lord, though he may find himself in the valley of the shadow of death, that he will fear no evil. Even if we are in fear of our lives, whether in an act of war or old age or illness, we have comfort. We have comfort in knowing that there is no evil inherently in death. Death was brought about by the sin of mankind, but death in and of itself is a natural part of this life. It's an order of things that God has set forth. There's nothing evil about it. And as it's mentioned here, it's merely the shadow of death. It's nothing to be feared. It's part of our lives. But sometimes we may conjure up evil that we place upon it or fears of it. David is saying here that he will not fear it. Though there be many times that we or others may suffer as we walk through this valley, there are many lessons and much growing that can come from enduring such times with God. And this isn't a run of marathon. This isn't a climb up the mountain of death. This is a walk. This is a stroll through the valley of the shadow of death. The comfort of knowing that even at this time we are being led down this path by the Lord should give us and others, should give us comfort and help us to battle the urges we have to fear death and what comes after. And we shall someday, if the world stands long enough, walk through it ourselves and see others walk through it as well. But that is comforting as well, because at some point we know that we will go through the valley. And if we are following the Good Shepherd down the path he leads us on, then we will come out the other side for that great reward beyond. As we have mentioned, the reason we do not fear any evil is because the Lord is with us. This is a part of our path in life. But the shepherd will test the way before us. We're told in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 that we will not be tested beyond what we will be able to bear. The shepherd will test the path and be sure it is passable. He will never travel down any path. We will never travel down any path with the shepherd that we cannot rest assured that it does lead to victory. We can get through that path. It is not too difficult for us. The shepherd's rod and staff are there to comfort us, David says. This is alluding to the shepherd's crook that would be used to help lead the sheep and pull them from danger and to assist them as they traverse any steeper, harder travel paths. The staff would be there used to drive away wolves or other prey that would wish to feast upon those of the shepherd's flock. Some people do not like the idea of having rules to follow and moral standards to be held to guide them. But the Christian realizes that these things, the Word of God, is what helps to guide us. It keeps us on solid ground and keeps our path sure. As much as it is opposed in our society, we need to put our trust in the Lord and lean on His Word and trust Him to guide us through the path, no matter what other paths or roadblocks may come before us. David says that the Lord prepares a table before him in the presence of his enemies. All the things that are needed in life, things that are required by the body, the mind, and the soul, things that are necessary but both now and this time and beyond time and to eternity, all these things are ready. They are not being prepared for a later time. They are not. If we will be patient, they will be given to us. All these things are readily before us and in the presence of our enemies, in the midst of the battles that we fight. It seems that there is intent of purpose here. During battle, if a soldier would eat it all, I'm sure it would be just a quick grab a bite of something and then back into the fray. But the way this is worded, it almost seems as if in our times of immense trial, that God prepares, has a table prepared for us with these things. Everything we could desire is set before us, and the Christian sits down and eats of everything in perfect peace. Though the enemies be at the door and our lives may be in seeming turmoil at times, the table is prepared and we are invited to partake of everything thereof. David says that furthermore, his head was anointed with oil and his cup runneth over. This again alluding to the great and bountiful blessings that he had seen and that are given to all those who walk with the Lord. You recall back to verse 1, David saying that as a sheep of the good shepherd, that he should not want. And we can surely see why. All we could ever ask or imagine is given to us and in great abundance. David is so confident in the Lord and in his goodness if we follow him that he says that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the blessings and mercies of the Lord, the sustenance for life, the spiritual things we require, for the strength in time of trial, all these things are offered to us, and we never have to stray from them. And if we follow the Good Shepherd and follow him, eventually through the valley of the shadow of death, we will forever dwell in the house of the Lord. An interesting note, I believe, is as we finish up this lesson, is the placement of this psalm. Obviously, it's following Psalm 22 as their number, but the content of that psalm, and I would like to go and quote a little bit from that this morning, waiting on the table, but I'd like to read through Psalm 22 very briefly. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my, my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hid his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember the turn, remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. We see here in the psalm, immediately before Psalm 23, that we recount the suffering of the Messiah is given there. And there's declares there will be a posterity to come that will declare his righteousness. Immediately after seeing all these things will be suffered by our Lord and Savior, by our shepherd, and we are immediately told what we gain from that, what all the trials he went through, the suffering that he went through, that was him testing the path for us. That was him making things ready for us so we would have a way that we might go. And it was because of the things that he has done that we can read Psalm 23 and read it knowingly, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hopefully, if nothing else, we've been able to take some time to appreciate this psalm and what it should mean to us. We never want to close a service without offering the invitation. If you have not been added to the Lord's church, you stand a guilty distance from him, you are not currently part of the fold, we would implore you to do so, to be baptized for the remission of your sins and become and to join the fold and follow the good shepherd. If you have, but you've wandered astray, we'd ask for the prayers of the church, and we would be more than happy to assist you in that as well if you come as we stand and as we sing.